Hey everyone, this is Achyut Dibhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at Mars's entrance into Gemini through all 12 signs. So these are like Mars and Gemini horoscopes, considering that Mars is going to be in the sign of Gemini from late August of 2022 all the way into March of 2023, with a long retrograde from late October into mid-January. This is a good one. This is a good one to take time and look at. Let's see what whole sign house Mars is going to travel through in your birth chart based on your rising sign. If you read sun sign horoscopes, you could follow along according to your sun sign as well. I'd recommend your rising sign that'll accord with your birth chart. So that's what we're going to do today. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe and share your comments in the comment section. That helps the channel to grow and spreads the news about this channel to other people via the mysterious algorithm. Anyway, you can always find a transcript of my daily talks on my website, nightlightastrology.com, where you can also go right now to take advantage of the pre-registration sale that we have on a few new courses. This lasts until September 12th, so a bunch of you have already signed up. Really looking forward to having you in classes soon. First, let me show you the Roots and Spheres program, which begins in January. This is a new and full moon circle that we are launching for 2023. My wife and I are leading it. Ashley, you guys probably have met Ashley before. She's fantastic. And here's the schedule. Meet before the new moons and before the full moons to discuss the astrology of the month. And for each month, we will also be doing a variety of different exercises together to deepen our connection to the planetary energies of each lunation cycle, while also dieting specific plant teachers as a way of deepening the connection. This is mind-body, deep transformational work that we are focused on. And so, I teach astrology to people who want to learn and practice it. But astrology for me is a part of an everyday spiritual practice. And for people who love astrology but want to take it to the next level in terms of its ability to have a really deep impact on your life, your psyche, and all areas of your life, this class is for you. When you sign up right now, you can save a couple $100 off through the early bird. You can also use a payment plan if you prefer. And we do have tuition assistance if anyone would like to take the program, but the cost is prohibitive. You know, we try to make sure that no one is priced out. Now, Roots and Spheres begins January 19th of 2023. We're sending out a list of different herbs for people to go to your co-op and get, or we have some resources you can order them online. So orientation material will go out later this fall. So you have a little bit of time to take advantage of that sale. The other class that I'm excited about, which is also starting in the new year, is the Masterclass series. Masterclass series is ideal for people who are a little bit more advanced in their studies of ancient astrology or whatever form of astrology you've studied. In order to get the most out of it, you should probably know something about traditional Hellenistic astrology. But in the this masterclass series begins February 17th, and the winter will kick off with a four-part series on the mysteries of the moon cycle. In the spring, we will be looking at the cycles of Venus and Mercury and how to interpret their phasal dynamics in the birth chart. In the summer, we will be looking at the art of zodiacal releasing, an ancient timing technique. And in the fall, we'll be looking at temperament, temperament calculation, figuring out if your chart is choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, or melancholic. What does that mean today? This is actually kind of like the foundations of what we know of as like Myers-Briggs, for example. Myers-Briggs? Yeah. So check that out. And again, you can save several hundred dollars off through this pre-registration sale we're running until September 12th. I'd love to see some of you guys in class. There's an early bird payment. There's a payment plan. You could purchase just one of the classes if you didn't want to do all four. And we also do have tuition assistance for people if that's helpful. So thanks for letting me do a little promotion of those new programs. Next, we are going to dive into horoscopes for Mars having entered the sign of Gemini. Now, again, like this is such a big deal because of how long it stays there. So let's get into this a little bit. Mars in Gemini will be traveling through the sign of Gemini, I should say, between August 20th and March 25th. So it is a long period of time with a retrograde taking place between October 31st, roughly, and January 13th. It's kind of easy to, I've been using October 31st because, depending on how you look at the ephemeris, and I think I've seen it mentioned as October 30th. I've been saying October 31st just because it's Halloween. It's easy to remember. So October 31st to January 13th, that is the retrograde period. Its station points are at 25 Gemini when it turns retrograde, and then it comes back down and stations to turn direct at 8 Gemini. So those are particularly sensitive points to pay attention to if you have planets in Gemini around those points, or angles at those points, or planets in mutable signs at those degrees. That would be, you know, important to pay attention to. So what we're going to do next is we're going to take it through the 12 signs, and I'm going to give you some information based on house position. I've taken everything out but Mars, so all we're doing is trying to get a sense of what's going on via house placement. We're going to start with Aries and work our way around. If you are in Aries rising, this means that Mars will be in your third whole sign house. So that place is associated with the mind and the environment. The environment is associated with the mind. The mind, if you've ever done a psychedelic before, one of the ways of understanding what a psychedelic is, it is a mind manifesting substance. It's as though you take a psychedelic or an entheogen and suddenly what's in your mind becomes manifest before you in this weird 3D dream state. The third house is called the joy of the moon, and it is related to that kind of the way that the mind, moods, atmosphere, environment around you every day, the most familiar kinds of things have an influence on you, or what is there, or how you think or perceive or communicate. It also has a lot to do with things that constellate around the roots, like family, neighborhood, siblings, things like that, or things that are culturally familiar to you. So with Mars doing this long dance through the third house, I wonder, especially because as an Aries, Mars is your ascendant ruler, how your mind is changing. Are you learning something new? Are you giving more thought to something, or learning a new craft or skill and then needing to express it or share it or communicate it with others? The retrograde could also mean that there is a period of conflict and then resolution of conflict that's especially argumentative or intellectual in nature. You're having ideological conflicts with other people, or conflicts in terms of the way you approach or do things or see things, and maybe a period of having to figure out how to resolve differences and make compromises. I could also see this playing a role somehow in technology, techie stuff, anything involving transportation, or anything from bicycles to cars to computers or cell phones, things like that, especially Mars and Gemini, which could bring up those things anyway, but then you place it in the third house, and I feel like you could see some emphasis on those topics as a really important theme, and watch for changes of those things, like change of computer or change of technology, or you got to get a car repair or something like that. Hopefully not, but while Mars is retrograde in particular. All right, let's continue on to Taurus. We place Taurus rising, places Mars in the second house. So now you're thinking about changes when it comes to entrepreneurial endeavors, money, finance, business, assets, resources, time management, energy, and how you use it, what you're trying to grow or build, delays in what you're trying to build or grow. So I could see this being, a kind of a period where if you are a business owner, this could pertain to a new product or a different having to revise or change the way you do business or take payments or something like that. Could also have something to do with anyone or anything that is like an asset to you and changes in what or who you rely on to help you with things. So the second house was associated with assets, but any kind of resource that you rely on to support you, and how there might be changes around those kinds of things. So watch for changes around money, finance, time, money, energy, your values, things that you value and hold and possess, some change in philosophy around material things or possessions, purchasing things, etc. Now, let's move along and put Gemini rising. Now, this would be your first house, which is your vitality, your health, your body, your appearance, your personality. I think that this is probably one of the more existential of the placements for Mars in the upcoming months. Mars in the first house could pertain to you changing something about your personality. Maybe you're becoming more assertive or vocal somehow, or maybe you've been overly assertive or aggressive about something, but then you have to pull back in and look at whether or not what you're doing is working, or whether you're hurting other people or not. Mars in the first house can be a little selfish, for example. You want to be careful that you're being cooperative as well as, maybe honoring your own will and way and things. The Mars in the first house could pertain to getting really fit or going on a diet or changing your appearance somehow. But some kind of very personal time of revision or reconsideration of who you are, what you're doing, or what matters to you. Also, Mars in the first house is very inceptional. It loves to start new things. I could see these new things being rooted in mind, in learning, in speech, in communication or technology, being a very inventive period of time. So those are some of the things that I would watch for if you're a Gemini rising. Now, if you're a Cancer rising, this places Mars into the 12th house, and I do believe this is one of the more challenging placements. Mars in the 12th could point, for example, to gossip or drama or dealing with people who have poor boundaries or spying or investigating on people or people investigating you, you know, behind your back, like people trying to dig up dirt on you or something like that. And this could be very mundane. It could be like people in the workplace that, you know, for example, Mars rules your 10th house. People in the workplace who are giving you a hard time. This can also be a time of wandering, of feeling like you have energy, but you don't know where to put it, and of having to go through a period of time where you've tried to do something and it's failed, or you've had to relinquish an aspiration of some kind, letting go of an ambition of some kind, but then maybe coming up with a new one or adjusting the plan or revising it somehow. I think that would be one really great possibility here that could be very constructive. Okay, something doesn't go as planned and I feel loss or grief or disappointment about it, but I'm also able to come up with some kind of revision. I could see this also being, remember that after Mars finishes with its retrograde in March, it's going to go into your first house as a Cancer in its fall. I could see this being about something that's cooking underneath the surface around home, family, identity, body, health. But I think a lot about family with this one that you may not fully see or be able to deal with in a more direct way until Mars actually enters Cancer in March. So because the 12th house tends to be a little hidden from our view and can be about things that are stirring in the unconscious, that this long process may yield finally actually dealing with and confronting something and actually seeing that positive breakthrough or change maybe by March when Mars moves into its fall in your first house and you really have to kind of come to terms with something or implement something that's been, you know, that you've had to do a lot of adjusting or waiting for somehow. So those are some of the things I'm seeing with Cancer rising. Let's go to Leo. Leo rising will take Mars and place it into the 11th house, the place of friends, allies, groups. With Mars in this place, I would wonder about conflicts with allies or within groups that you belong to or amongst colleagues or competition, something like that. I could also see multiple different allies or projects or people coming into your life that are very helpful, but also maybe being selective about who or what you allow, who you consider, you know, as a teammate or team member in life right now. Because there's a feeling of Mars in the 11th can be very advantageous, like advantageous, effective, helpful, strong allies or friends or colleagues or groups. But with the long retrograde and Mars also, of course, just being a malefic, you think also about selectivity, being really select and specific about who you let in and why. And maybe going through some period of having to revise or reconsider exactly who or what you want to ally yourself with. What are your allegiances? And I think the other thing that could come up here would be, you know, a kind of playful, spontaneous, fun, changeable energy around friends. Like you meet some really interesting, fun, quirky people. But there'll be some twists and turns around the story of the plot line of friends, allies, and groups over the next 6 months as Mars enters the sign for sure. And I would watch especially for late October through January to reveal some kinds of lessons or the need to shift your view or understanding of things in that area. So, all right, let's go to Virgo. Put Virgo on the ascendant, and we are now taking Mars in Gemini into the 10th house of career. So here, I actually really like this energy for Virgo. It's very productive. If you're talking about skill acquisition or development or implementation of new ideas or strategies in the workplace, it looks great. Now, there could be a period where you're revising something or changing something or reorganizing something in the workplace, and that might take up a little bit of time during the retrograde between late October and mid-January. But otherwise, Mars in the 10th is very inceptional, also likes to start things. or it likes to get a lot of things done. It's very productive, but might be have a lot of irons in the fire, while Mars is in Gemini, a double-bodied sign that likes multiples. So multiple projects, multiple ideas, multiple incentives, things like that. A very achievement-oriented, but could also bring a little bit of conflict or competition into the workplace. So I'd be a little bit careful about that. All right, let's go on to Libra. So we are putting Libra into the first house, which means Mars goes into the ninth. So if you're a Libra rising, you're going to have Mars in your ninth house. Now, this is the place of the higher mind. It's called the joy of the sun in the house of God, associated with the pursuit of truth, wisdom, understanding, philosophy, religion, higher education, long journeys, foreign countries, things like that. So Mars in this house could suggest adventure abroad. Mars in this house could suggest, you know, a comedy of errors abroad, right? You want to be careful about if you're going to be on the road or traveling during this time. I could see it being an adventure. I'll just say that. I don't want to say that it's going to be bad, but I could see there being some loop-de-loops with a long retrograde, right? Especially in Mercury's sign, a god that's associated with travel too. So Mars in that house, also very strong-minded, opinionated, but also flexible, adaptable, and curious. I could see there being a swashbuckling, you know, debate-oriented kind of attitude, like mental agility, enjoyable debates. But it, you know, it could get their skepticism, potential to be drawn into verbal or mental arguments with people. I would be careful about those things. Also, double standards, looking at those ethically, morally, philosophically. Those are some things, a paradigm change potentially with Mars turning retrograde in that house. One that in also brings action. All right, Scorpio. If you're a Scorpio rising, this takes Mars and puts it into the eighth house. Whenever Mars moves into the eighth house, I think about severing bonds or ties, severing contracts. Mars has the action of severing, and the eighth house has the action of joint agreements or debts or things that we rely on other people for, or they rely on us for. So Mars entering that house could sever those kinds of bonds or entanglements. On the other hand, Mars can be quite ambitious and could go out seeking some kind of advantage through a variety of different connections that look like they might be mutually beneficial. I think it could be complicated though, especially with a retrograde. So be careful of what you sign up for or who you sign up for something with. Mars in the eighth house could also bring the topic of death. That is a possibility. Oftentimes I feel like, just like the tarot card, death is more metaphorical in the eighth house than it is literal. But death and debt, the greatest debt we all have at some point is probably the fact that we're going to die. No one gets out of here alive, right? So the eighth house Mars retrograde is also a time to look at who and what do we want to be indebted to. And, you know, who and what we're indebted to is also part of the path toward death, right? And so one of the things that you hear people saying, great sages in all traditions, is, you know, try to live simply. Because the more things that you're entangled in, the more obligations you have and the less free you are. And hence, you know, the quicker you die in a form of bondage, basically. So a lot of the wisdom traditions, be simple and free. So keep some of those things in mind as Mars is going through the eighth, if you're a Scorpio, over the next, next 6 months, especially during the retrograde period between late October and mid-January. All right, Sagittarius. With Sag, if you're Sagittarius rising, we're placing Mars in your seventh house. That's the place of relationships and love. Now, Mars in that house can also sever the romantic bonds. It can sever partnerships of just about any kind, as long as they are more intense partnerships, not just casual things like I'm in partnership with the people I work with or something like that. This would be like a business partner or a spouse or a lover. Someone that you have a real tight bond with can be about enemies too. So Mars in the seventh could amplify conflicts with other people, especially those that are verbal or mental or may involve some element of deception or even theft. But then on the other hand, you have the potential signification of, the health of a spouse or partner could go through, a partner or spouse could go through a challenging time or a redirection of their energy or life direction. And that may just be peripheral. And it's not like it necessarily will affect you personally that much, or it could. It's like, if they're going to get a new job, you might have to move. But Mars retrograde suggests changes within a relationship or for a partner, changes to their health, changes to their job, changes in the relationship itself, potentially a little bit of an increased aura of conflict or competition in relationships, but also fun. Like Mars in Gemini is fun and speedy and clever and can be very charming. And so that just kind of witty, fun energy could actually bring maybe a little boost to your sex life too. I like that energy, flirtatious Mars in Gemini energy for meeting someone new, but they may be very Mars in Gemini like. So just keep that in mind. All right, going to Capricorn. So we will put Capricorn on the ascendant, which places Mars in the sixth house, the house of its joy. Now for this one, I could see there being a lot of work or effort mentally intellectually, working on things, working on elaborate projects, especially things that are like written or things that involve a lot of organization or multitasking. And it's not necessarily rewarding work right away. And it may even involve a long interlude of frustrations and needing to revise the way that you're working towards something. It may involve feeling like you're not being recognized or paid as much as you deserve. It could involve setbacks or delays. But this is like a long labor of some kind for Capricorns, maybe dealing with health issues, maybe dealing with setbacks or frustration around your health. I would think in particular in this house, Mars in Gemini, I think of mental, nervous, communicative, neurological things. Sometimes with air signs, there's like respiratory things. So maybe there's some element, I don't want to scare people, but, you know, long Mars retrograde in a house associated with illness, accidents, injuries, misfortune, not a super fun placement. But the good thing about Mars being there is that Mars in the sixth rejoices and tends to persevere. And eventually the hard work or the interlude of setbacks, it runs out, and then you feel like you're like the struggling hero victorious at the end. So I think that this will pay off for you by the time that it's all over. I would also be careful to note that this period could be mentally exhausting. So try to bring into your life things that can keep your mental and emotional and your almost like the health of your brain and mind up throughout the entire process. And it could also be a time where there's a new approach to wellness or healing that you take, which is often the case when a planet goes retrograde in the sixth, that suddenly it's like, oh, my body's giving me feedback and here's a new strategy for self-care. All right, let's go into Aquarius rising, which places Mars into the fifth house. Mars in the fifth house, let me see here, here we go. Mars in the fifth would be the place that was called the Joy of Venus and the House of Good Fortune. I like this for a very romantic, but maybe a little promiscuous placement, fun, creative, clever, but maybe getting into some trouble for having fun. Like I could see people gambling too much or getting in trouble with themselves or with others for one night stands, like you're upset with yourself that you you're in like a sleeping around phase or something. On the other hand, Mars in the fifth house could indicate some troubles or issues around children or the topic of pregnancy. Like I'm getting pregnant again and I didn't want to or wasn't expecting it. I mean, just almost like, I don't want to make it sound grim, but because I think it's probably low percentage that anything terrible happens, but it can point toward challenges around children and pregnancy. Let's just put it that way. Or unexpected things or reversals or course corrections or twists and turns of fate that are unexpected relative to the topic of children. Now, something to do with learning or education in children could come up as well, like the needs of the learning needs of a child, something like that. So I would look at those themes as all possible, as well as taking an active interest in what brings happiness. Mars in the fifth house says, let's go out and, have fun and throw caution to the wind. And there might be some need for that. So watch for the influence of Mars in the fifth house around the topic of pleasure and joy as well. All right. Well, last but not least, Pisces. Pisces rising places Mars into the fourth house. This is the place of home, family, place of home, family, children, property. So I'm thinking, one of the good things about Mars in the fourth house in Gemini is that it's going to be good at solving any problems that come up in your home or property. Like let's say you have an electrical problem, it might take a bit to fix, but you'll figure it out because Mars in Gemini tends to be very inventive and is a very good problem solver. So Mars in Gemini in the fourth house could bring problems into home, family, or property, could also bring solutions to problems. Very inventive sign, very resourceful for placement for Mars, I should say. Mars in the fourth house can bring conflict among family members, especially verbal or mental. It could also speak to a variety of different people or influences somehow coming into the home and, you know, almost like different ideas that are somehow influencing the home or family. It could also be that there's some issues around, you know, rental contracts, or that there's a need to suddenly go and find a home to buy or something like that. Watch for the retrograde period from late October all the way through mid-January to be especially potent in terms of the themes of home and family and what you might be learning about those themes during that time in particular. So that is what I've got. Just taking it through and hopefully giving you guys a few things to go on. I consider these to be like clues. You know, this is not the final word as to what's going to happen or what exactly the transit means, as much as it is like, let's start loosening, you know, it's like when you go in for a massage before they do the deep tissue stuff, they start loosening you up a little bit. So it's like, all right, well, let's start loosening ourselves up for Mars entering that house for the next 6 months and hopefully just start stimulating your mind and imagination to start seeing Mars as a god that's entering a new place in your psyche. So remember station points, 25 Gemini, 8 Gemini. If you have planets in Pisces, Sagittarius, Virgo, or Gemini at 25 Gemini or 8 Gemini, if you have planets at those degrees, the transit will be more potent. Might be worth getting a reading if that's the case. If you have, you know, the midheaven at one of those degrees, or the ascendant, descendant, IC, that would also be worth looking at. And don't forget, it's there from August 20th all the way to March 25th. So there's a long time to talk about this. We're also going to be doing some deep dives into the transit from an archetypal standpoint and a historical standpoint. So today I just wanted to get the ball rolling by means of the 12 sign horoscopes and just looking at house positions. So that's what I've got for today. Don't forget to like and subscribe, share your comments, and click on the notification bell for updates when I go live or I've got a new talk dropping. You can always find a transcript of my daily talks on the website, nightlightastrology.com. And don't forget the pre-registration sale for the new classes, Roots and Spheres, the Moon Circle. My wife and I will be leading throughout the year ahead. I always say my wife because, like, you guys don't know her, Ashley. I'm just going to say her name. Ashley and I will be leading that throughout 2023. And you can sign up for that all the way, get a good deal on that all the way until September 12th. That starts in January. And the masterclass series begins in February. Both of those are on sale until September 12th. So make sure you take advantage of that. And I hope to see some of you guys in class soon. More good content to come. We'll see you again.